Greetings and welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations. Today is Tuesday, April 12th, 2016. And here in Durham, New Hampshire, I'm Dave Hamilton, standing in for Jeff Gamet, because Jeff is standing elsewhere and not in here. My guests for today include Mr. Brian Chaffin. Brian, thanks for joining me.
Good to be here, Dave.
Thanks. And the esteemed Mr. John Martellaro. How are you doing today, John?
Very good. Nice to be here.
It is nice to be here on this rainy day. Rainy for me, but hopefully not rainy for you folks.
Well, I would love it if it was
actually
rainy.
That's true. Yeah.
But it's only overcast.
Rainy days and Tuesdays get us down.
And yet here we are on a happy Tuesday and it's raining. So there you go. We have a couple of topics today. Brian, you want to start us off with the first one?
You were bringing both these topics. We're going to let's do Reddit first.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. All right. An interesting thing has happened. Last week, Reddit released their own iOS client, right? Which is fine, you know, but they even said when they released it, they said, look, you know, we know that we're not the first here. There are plenty of other third-party Reddit clients. And in fact, if you like those, you should simply use them. But if you want to try ours out, here it is. And then this week, some Reddit clients, in fact, I think all of the third-party Reddit clients were removed from the App Store. And the reason that Apple gave was that these clients were essentially allowing people to access what we'll call not safe for work content, right? Porn and other things that might be offensive to others and minors and, you know, I don't know, all sorts of people, but pretty much everyone. So Reddit said they were not behind this. They did not make a request of Apple to do this. And what Apple said was, hey, here's the thing. Reddit's client doesn't do this because Reddit on the site has a switch in your account that chooses whether or not to let you see this content. These clients were not honoring that switch. They were creating their own switches inside the app where you could turn the content on and off. And they said, you can't do that. You have to honor Reddit's switch. Now Reddit switch is nothing.
What's the rationale for that? Why did Apple make that decision?
Yes, who knows? That's why we're talking about it here, right? I mean, this switch, yep. The only thing that changed was that Reddit introduced their own client. So, which means, you know, someone realized, oh, there's a different way of doing this, but nothing about the Reddit service or about the Reddit, these clients, these third-party clients, nothing about that had changed. And that's where this rubs me the wrong way. I mean, and it's nice. Apple is letting these apps, if they remove the switch and simply honor the user's Reddit preference, they'll, you know, they're letting them back into the store and that's all happening expedited post haste and all of that, which is fine. But it's this moving target of, you know, this nothing changed and this app was fine last week and for months. Thank you very much. And now suddenly today it goes away.
Makes you wonder what the driving philosophy was behind pulling it. Did Apple discover some security weakness? Did it come to their attention that this could be confusing?
I think it's the
doctrine was.
I actually think that you said it earlier, Dave. We don't know. We're all just guessing. But it seems like it would have occurred to someone that there's a different way of doing things. And so maybe now they're going to start doing it that way.
Right.
And I'm going to defend Apple a little bit.
Okay.
Curating the walled garden is hard. And it comes with a lot of downsides, right? We've talked about a lot of those downsides over the years.
Yep.
But it's hard. And the flip side is, you know, Google's much more open approach where the Taliban is able to get a recruiting app onto the Google Play Store for a while. Because it's not a walled garden. It was removed once it was brought to Google's attention. But, you know, Google is essentially perpetually playing a sort of reactionary catch-up game. And Apple does its best to get it right in the first place. And I would rather have Apple change its positions when it learns that their previous position is not as good than to have Apple dogmatically stick to a solution that was, or a position that is less logical.
Okay. That's fair, actually. And I like that. I mean, the world is not binary, right? And it can evolve. However, making this decision and the way you enact this decision and the timeline in which you enact this decision are two different things, right? So deciding, hey, look, that app is actually doing it the right way, you know, and so we need to have all the apps do this, because someone could in their Reddit account say, I don't want this stuff. And then they use one of these other third party apps, and now suddenly they're getting this stuff. Now, you know, we're kind of, and we haven't, you know, filtered this app because of that, we might have a problem. And that, I get that. And we need to fix that. We need the developers to fix that. Fine. But simply removing the apps the moment you make that decision is the thing that drives developers and, frankly, their customers crazy.
I think I know why. It's a laborious process to contact the developer and ask for compliance and explain yourself and let the developer whine and react and sort of meddle through and to make sure you get all the developers. It's easier to just pull the app and then, boy, will they react.
So now I have a devil's advocate position against you, John.
And well, I'm not saying I come down on that one way or the other, but I think that's why Apple does it.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you pull the app, people go WTF, and then it gets fixed.
And Apple has the resources to be able to do it the right way. And the right way, of course, would be to simply have an open dialogue with the developers.
Yeah.
Even if it's some sort of thing where Apple sets up some kind of communication lines and says, now it's up to you developers to describe to the right one, subscribe to the right one.
I think we've heard reports that there are so many apps submitted that the average app gets how many minutes, Dave, for review? Is it 3-4 minutes? I don't think you can say Apple has the resources to engage in a lengthy conversation.
Apple has the resource.
I've had Apple lengthy did. Conversations with Apple about my app, our Mac Geek Gab app. It was one of these things where, you know, we were submitting some minor mm-hmm. bug fix, and they said, oh, hey, there's this thing you're doing that fundamentally, you know, excludes you from the App Store. It's like, okay, but to be fair, you know, we've had that there for a really long time. It's cool that you want to talk about this now, but we need to talk. And they're like, yeah, that's fine. When can we call you and what number? And then I had a 25-minute conversation with them.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And I mean, they explained their point and I explained mine. They're like, okay. And I even on the phone talked to them about, okay, how about if we do this instead and we present this particular option in this way instead of the way that we have? They're like, oh yeah, that would actually be fine. Like, awesome. And they explained the nuances of the ruling. I mean, it was outstanding. It was our premium thing in Mac Geek Gab, right? They said, look, is this truly just a donation that the listeners are giving to you, or are they getting any benefit out of it? And I said, no, there are, it for the most part is a donation, but we do offer, you know, benefits. And I explained that, you know, the premium email address and the thing that if you once you contribute up to a certain amount, you get a gift and this, that, and they're like, yeah, okay. So we can't call that a donation. Therefore it, you know, if you're going to link people to it in the app, it has to be an in-app purchase. They'll happily let you link out of an app if people are just doing donations, which I didn't know, right? They took the time to explain that to me. But what I will point out is while they were holding up the update because of this, they did not pull our app from the store while we were having this conversation. And this conversation probably took a week and a half to have and then update the app and all of that. So it's this inconsistency. They could have pulled it based on what happened to Reddit. They did. They you know, or not should Reddit. Have. They should have. Yeah, right. Or not. Or they shouldn't have pulled these people's apps. They should have just told them, hey, look, here's a thing we found with your app. Your current app can live in the store either perpetually or until you know, such and such a date, but
you've got a week to fix it. Go fix it.
Yeah. Or all future updates must comply with this new thing that, that we've put into place. And
maybe
it's not
somebody who was overworked. They just threw a switch and said, all right, I'm pressed for time.
That's not excusable,
yeah,
John.
That's not at all.
I didn't say that. I'm not supporting this. I'm trying to
figure appreciate
out
that.
Yeah. How it happened without necessarily justifying what Apple did. I'm for reasons and causes, not rationale.
Well, and Apple, generally speaking, does tend to sort of take a heavy-handed approach when it comes to these things.
Yeah,
it's true. Yeah,
and I'm totally okay with the changing. Again, you know, a big part of what I didn't say is that a big part of the fact that Apple does change a lot of rules is that these rules don't exist anywhere. Right? There's no manual for how to run a walled garden.
Oh, I was going to say Apple has written them, but you're right. Yes. Yes. The rules as,
Apple's been writing them as it goes.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, like I said, I would rather see Apple be flexible in the face of reality than dogmatic, in putting principle above practicality. So I don't mind the flexibility and changing of the rules, but handling that communication process would be differently. Would be I think in everyone's best interest, including Apple's.
Including Apple's. All right, let's move on to our second topic here. Celebrite. That's a name that's familiar to anyone that's been following any of the iPhone security stuff, because they're the ones that they're the ones that cracked that iPhone that the FBI was so hot about.
It would seem that they are.
But they certainly have helped law enforcement with all sorts of things like that. And they, that's their business. So they aim to continue to do so.
The intelligence world too.
Sure. So there is, patently Apple's got an article that Celebrite is helping to provide the technological capability that would allow a bill that's being proposed in New York to actually happen. And that is that this bill would allow the police to perform what they're calling a textilizer test at the scene of an accident. That is to check the phones of the drivers to see if they were texting. Now that's
without otherwise intruding on any other data.
Well, that's the key. That's right. Is they say that they've got a way of doing this that enables police to examine phones at an accident site in a way that completely avoids drivers' personal data. And I like this because thus far, or at least recently, the conversation has been about, well, if you're going to use my device to see if I committed a crime, then I'm losing all of my my privacy. And that's bad, right? We want to be able to draw that line. But if they've figured out a way that doesn't divulge, say, the contents of those texts and yet says, yes, you were texting, I think that's a good thing.
I like it. I think it's a good thing too. If it's against the law to be texting and driving in your state and you cause an accident and it can be determined at the scene that you were texting, as it's often determined at the scene through breathalyzer tests, that you were drinking, and your other data is kept secure, I think this is a good thing. Brian?
Hate it.
Really?
Hate it. This is self-incrimination.
No, it's not, because it's public. It's the public.
Ah, so it's okay for self-incrimination because it's
on par with drinking and driving. You have a response.
Do you think breathalyzers are self-incrimination, Brian?
Yeah.
Because that's way more self-incrimination than this.
Well, this is my self-incrimination comment. And that's a very good question. My self-incrimination comment comes from discussions we've been having in the last 2 months about how our devices are, to a certain extent, becoming extensions of our brains and that we keep information there.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
And there are other ways to get this information, including subpoenaing the phone company.
Well, no, because that would only get texting data. So to be fair, this textilizer technology allows the police to tell whether the device was being used, not just for texting, but was the phone awake? And that's pretty much all it's saying. Was the phone awake and was someone interacting with it? That's it.
Brian brings up a good point. Could you perhaps look at the metadata of that phone number through phone company records and determine that a text message was sent without revealing its contents because it's encrypted? At what time was that text message sent? 1 minute before the accident, without actually physically invading the phone.
Well, yeah, but you're forgetting about iMessage. You're forgetting, which would not, the phone company would have only a record of data coming to and from the phone, right? Or WhatsApp or anything sure. else, Twitter, Facebook, right?
That's maybe all they need.
So what if I send a hands-free text message? Is this technology going to differentiate between that? Send my message for me.
Yeah, they're not using the data stream of the phone. They're using whether or not the phone was being interacted with. And yeah, I mean, if it says someone was, you know, this technology says that you were doing this and touching the phone, you know, within X seconds before the crash, then you could certainly have the argument that, well, you know, that's, that was someone else. That was my the passenger doing
that. This goes back to yesterday and Brian's and my bet, because about a year and a half ago, I wrote an article about a patent that Apple had developed to keep people from texting while they were driving. And the idea was that the GPS would tell you how fast you were going and the camera would tell you whether it was behind the wheel of a car. So if you're sitting in a bus going 70 miles an hour or on a commuter train going 80, not a problem. But if the camera says you're behind the wheel of a car and you're going 60 miles an hour, then texting is shut off. And Apple never did anything with that patent.
Yeah, that would put Apple in this huge liability.
That's the problem with that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Problem.
And now you see what we're forced into. Apple didn't take proactive measures.
My other problem with this situation as described, at least what we know so far, and let's be clear, we're not experts on what Cellebrite is offering, is that it puts the police in the position of, you know, puts the police more in the position of being judge and jury here.
No, they're just collecting data.
Yeah, just like a breathalyzer.
And they say your blood alcohol was 0.15 and you were tapping on an iPhone. I don't see the difference.
Well, so again, says, what if it's a hands-free text? And now I'm in the position of having to
prove the law has to be written in such a way that it's very careful about what it is that you're doing, that it's against the law, in order to avoid a situation where the driver has to prove his innocence rather than the police have to prove your guilt.
Yeah. Let's hope that happens if this moves forward. Don't get me wrong. I'm very against texting and driving. I don't do it. I don't advocate it. I don't tolerate it. I don't like it. It's a very bad thing. People who do it are incredibly selfish.
I have never done it.
I won't say I've never done it, but I certainly do not do it anymore. And the having our devices used against us is going to ever be a problem unless we push back against it. And I don't think that this is the way to do it.
What about the computer in the car that has been subpoenaed in the past to show vehicle status, speed, condition information in the case of an accident? There's a big discussion going on, as far as I know, it's still happening, about who owns that data, the owner of the car or the car company.
Or the insurance company, if it's one of those insurance companies.
Yeah, that discussion is still ongoing, is it not?
Yeah. It is. This is part of the evolution as we kind of, you know, integrate these. It's very new to us to have these devices in our lives. And this discussion is important. I mean, we don't want people texting while driving. We know that enforcement of that and punishment for breaking that are effective ways of at least stopping people from doing other things. You know, drinking and driving is one of those things where, you know, the severity of the punishment and the frequency of the punishment with relation to how often the crime happens, increasing that has helped. Right. So this would help this too, but there is that question. It's good. It's Dorks is the organization that is, working with two members of the New York State Legislature. And Dorks is Distracted Operators Risk Casualties. And it's an organization founded by some people that lost family members to this.
That just brings me back that quote from a judge from a justice on the Supreme Court, 1926, talking about most damage being done. This is a paraphrase, most damage being done by people with good intentions.
Well, yeah, but we need to be aware of that.
And going back to the breathalyzer thing, it occurs to me that in most states, you actually have the option of not taking the breathalyzer test and instead being taken back to the station and getting a blood test.
Yes, but that's either way, your body is going to provide the evidence for or against you. So self-incrimination is part of that either way. You by getting into the vehicle, you've given up that particular right. And I have a feeling that's where we're heading with this one.
Yeah.
And that's where we've got to wrap up, guys.
I suspect you're right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, folks. If you have thoughts about this, send them to us. Find us on Twitter at TMO Daily. Send them to us at observations@macobserver.com. And we will see all of you tomorrow.